Hello and welcome to the Never Loved Elvis podcast. It's a music commentary podcast which discusses music, gigs we've been to, anything in between. It's the perfect blend of knowledge, ignorance and humour. Thanks for listening.
Hello, good evening and welcome to Nothing Much. This is Never Loved Elvis.
It was a nice cut reference.
I think we might have used that one already.
Have we?
I was pushed for time this week. How are we, gents?
Good, very good.
Doing all right?
How's things?
Good, thank you. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, very good indeed. What's been grabbing your eyes and ears this week?
Well, you know how I'm normally pretty underprepared for this type of thing.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It never shows.
Well, this week I've hit new lows, but...
I'm gazing across it. You've got a piece of paper.
I've got nothing on it. It just says Northerners are fucking loud for some reason. In joke. I have made some notes here. So,
you can say that, a bit like taking a piss out of gingers.
I'm allowed to, and I'm also ginger, so there we go. Yeah. I can do that also.
The height jokes. Height jokes.
Yeah, I can do that as well. Yeah. Hermaphrodite.
We'll do those.
So I thought I'd go a little bit underground this week, and I've been sort of doing a little bit of digging, and I just thought, you know, just try and find some stuff that maybe you might not have heard about. And then I found this guy. He was on the internet. Let me find his name. I've got it written down here.
On Tinterweb.
Eddie Vedder, I think he's called. Yeah. He's from a band. I've got the name here. Let me just...
Keep looking.
From a band, let me just find the name of the band.
He did come prepared. Yeah.
There's writing on it as well.
Pearl Jam.
Oh, I think I might know them.
Have you heard of him?
What's he been up to?
He's had COVID. That was it, really. That's all I've got on that one.
I saw a photo of him. He looks a bit like Jack Black these days. Well, the photo that I saw.
Really?
Doesn't he just get away with being perennially cool? He's just... Really?
I don't know.
You're giving me a doubtful look. Mm. I just thought he fell into the, I can do whatever the hell I like.
Maybe. I might need to... I could be wrong.
What got me about his thing is that he had COVID and he was talking about it to a crowd.
Yeah.
And he said his life flashed before his eyes. And I'm thinking, that seems like... I mean, COVID's quite a long, drawn-out thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not...
It's not bad. Like, if you have a car crash, your life flashes before your eyes. I think he was just seeing...
It was just like a really long flash.
It
kept flashing before
just
my
actually
eyes.
His eyes. Seeing life.
Like a guitar solo.
Yeah, like one of his guitar solos.
Yeah.
Does he do guitar solos? Well, you know what? No,
he's the singer. You're a real proper Pearl Jam fan, aren't you?
Yeah.
Glad you raised this.
There was another band that came across this week. They were a new beat combo, I think. Let me get the name.
Green Day.
Green Day, they're called. Cancelled the gigs in Moscow.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good.
Well, I mean, that just... why wouldn't you?
I saw there were quite a few bands that cancelled the gigs in Moscow this week.
Yeah.
Or in Russia this week. One of whom was Franz Ferdinand, which, I mean, if they'd been there, could have been...
That could have been very poignant.
It could have been.
Yeah. If only they were...
Serbia, was it?
You were in Serbia.
Belgrade.
Belgrade isn't Serbia, is it? No, Bosnia. No, they were in... No, well, you're getting... You're getting almost muddled.
Right,
it was Serbian terrorists who killed Franz Ferdinand in Bosnia, in Sarajevo.
Sarajevo, was it? Yeah. Okay, I'm not a history teacher.
There's nothing about Pearl Jam, but history teacher.
I haven't listened to The Smile, though.
Oh, now I've listened to a few of this. It sounds good.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Yeah. I like them.
So there's more?
So The Smile is basically...
Tom York.
Oh, I've heard some of this.
One of the Greenwoods and the drummer from Sons of Kemet.
Sons of Kemet.
Yeah, I have heard some of
it. Sounds quite jazzy. Sounds very Radiohead-y, but Yeah, really good. They did the Glastonbury. Glastonbury,
I wonder if you do see it.
I saw that last year, and they were awesome. Yeah. And they were advertising a gig they were putting on in January time. I think the tickets went on pre-sale on the Tuesday. The gig was on the Saturday, and they were doing three gigs. There was one at, I think, 11 o'clock at night. One at 2 or 3 in the morning, and then one at 11 a.m. So that they could live stream it across the globe, and people across the globe can see it. And I thought that sounded really good. I thought I might head up to that. It was up in a venue I hadn't heard of, up in Lewisham/Greenwich, kind of round about the O2, and an interactive space they called it, and they could do all sorts of different stuff there. Mm. So I went in the pre-sale, managed to get in, and the tickets were £90, and I was like, not sure.
That is an awfully lot of money.
That is a stupid. Maybe it was 75. But
what's the venue project as well?
Can't remember.
Normally that's stadium prices, right?
Yeah.
Is the O2 still there? There should be a discount. There's no roof on it now.
Yeah, I think.
Am I right? Am I right?
I think bits did blow up. But they sound awesome. I'd love to see them.
But
90 quid for a gig.
Yeah.
Nah.
If it's a Radiohead.
Yeah.
And another guy.
It's a festival.
They do sound good though.
I think I paid less than that for those Pearl Jam tickets I bought a couple of weeks ago.
You've seen them?
No, I'm seeing them at Hyde Park this summer.
On the Pulse, with his new artists.
No, he's in the day. He's in the day the Pixies are supporting.
Yeah, it is.
Because I think they're doing 2 days back to back, aren't they?
Yeah, the other day Stereophonics are supporting now.
Oh, is it? Because it was Idols
as well.
It was Idols.
It was Idols before they cancelled it last year.
I think we're going to the Pixies today as well.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's going to be good. Report back on
you're
that.
You're going to see band.
Never seen them.
Unbelievable.
I think that weekend, Duran Duran were scheduled to play the day after as well. That's don't know if that's still happening.
That is still going ahead. I don't know who's supporting that. But
so I think Lorna's going to both days. Going up with Dan.
Yeah.
Heading to
Hyde Park. I bet that'll be massively popular.
Two nights in a row, won't it? 2 days out of three. So
proper 80s comeback. Yeah. I think that'd be good.
How about you?
The segue was beautiful. We've gone from we're still in the 80s, right? We've gone from Duran Duran straight over to Tears for Fears, which is what I has been treating my ears and eyes this week.
I've seen they've been getting quite a bit of coverage.
Well, they've got your album out, haven't they? First album in God knows what. The Tipping Point is called. Haven't heard it. Have you heard it? Anyone heard it yet?
No, I heard them singing a live version of Everybody Wants to Rule the World. So clearly they've got a new album out. They're like, yeah, but can you play that one?
And I think there's going to be, there's obviously going to be a lot of that. But I mean, and this coincides almost certainly with what I saw on BBC Four, which was, classic album series and how they recorded songs from a big chair. Oh, it's just absolutely great. It's one of those ones you don't realise how good that album is.
We were chatting yesterday and you said that you forgot how many songs of theirs you knew.
Yeah. It's like three international hit singles on it. Shout, Mother's Talk and Everybody Wants to Rule the World or Head Over Heels. Could be any of them.
Run the World.
Charity.
I'm pretty sure they were on one of my first ever music that I owned personally. Was a cassette I got from collecting six tokens from Weetabix.
Oh, yeah.
And I think there was Thompson Twins and Tears for Fears and Boy George on there. Yeah.
Did you ever get...
I don't know if it's Tears or Fears, sorry, but I saw the picture today. One of them's got really long grey hair now and a big long beard.
Yep. Can't remember if that's Roland or...
Gary Kemp.
Not Gary.
I don't know the names.
I saw that. They look a bit wizardy.
A
bit kind of ELO type. Maybe Rick Wakeman.
I thought it looked
like they'd grown into it quite well. But I'd have to say it was a really good hour of TV. It was apart from the songs that you just like form part of your past and proper nostalgia trip. Apart from that, they interviewed some of the producers as well, and they were like, "Oh, do you remember how they wrote this one? Do you remember how we pulled it together? And do you remember how we overlaid that track onto it? And we took out the horns and brought that up instead." And brilliant. Something like I quite like those bits of history about famous albums and how albums were written. You know, they come to the table with a piano riff and somebody says, why don't you turn that into a guitar riff? And all of a sudden it's the opening to Everybody Wants to Rule the World. It's really, really good. Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. I'd recommend that.
Nice. Yeah,
it's good. Kev, you're looking at me. I'll take us forward a decade now and a little bit. So it's been a good sort of week or two for people that like a bit of 90s nostalgia and early noughties nostalgia. So did you see the Super Bowl halftime show?
Yeah, it was amazing.
I haven't, but I heard it was...
So it was in California. Yeah. So it was... Wasn't it
Dre and Snoop?
Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem...
Mary J. Blige.
Kendrick Lamar, who's only been around for 15 years.
He's awesome as well.
50 Cent.
His spot was absolutely brilliant, actually. Yeah. The choreography in his set, in his bit, was brilliant.
It was so good, but it just reminded you, I mean, they're all amazing, and they stood the test of time, but it really did take you back to that era, and it was brilliant, wasn't it?
So, it was, I thought it was a superb show, and really, really well received. A mate of mine was there, texting me for probably got, I think it was through work, but there was something like $7,000 a seat, right? To the public. He obviously got his through work, but he took a couple of photos and was messaging me and just like did a bit of video, which he then sent me the next day, the proper YouTube thing. It was fantastic. Absolutely brilliantly done. Lovely centrepiece. You've got to see it.
It was so good.
They do it well in America, don't they? I mean,
massive gig.
If we tried that during the FA Cup final, we got the marching band playing Jerusalem or something.
Yeah, you'd have Chelsea pensioners come on and do a set.
Major Rex come in and do some
Major Rex.
And Coldplay.
Brutal. Yeah. The thing with the halftime shows, it's 20 minutes, isn't it? And they've got to cram all those artists and get something across in 20 minutes, which was really hard. But it just showed you they could have done 3 hours and there wouldn't have been a boring moment. It was so good.
Probably
so,
better than the American football, I would have thought.
What did they sing? A lot better. Eminem Did Lose Yourself.
Eminem did
Lose Yourself, but he also did Without Dre as well, didn't he?
Yeah. They chucked in a couple of little nuggets of songs between as well.
Yeah.
And then they covered
California,
Tupac.
Mary J. Blige did No Pain and No Drama.
They did a lot, didn't they?
Yeah. And actually, that links us on to the other thing. Snoop Dogg has bought Death Row Records. Did you see that news?
Yeah, no, I didn't see that.
So he's looking, and I think for the last sort of 10 years he's been trying to bring everyone together, all people that had beef in the past and all the rest of it. And he owns it now.
It was very much centred around Dre, wasn't it? You know, he was like the pivot, and
I was watching something, and I can't.
Is he dead? Like, in prison?
Yeah,
he's in prison.
I think he's in prison.
He was killed.
Was he killed?
Yeah, I think he died. Yeah, I was. I can't remember what on earth I was watching in the past month, but it was something all about the East Coast West Coast rivalry about Puff Daddy against Biggie Smalls Puff and Biggie against Tupac, Snoop, Death Row Records
kind of almost bad boy,
making sure it was the proper fight, and Snoop was trying to step away from all this, and
yeah, but he kind of started it all.
He was the one that kind of stepped away and was trying to make some, I think he was trying to make a record with Biggie Smalls or Puff Daddy or something.
He's the one that's trying to unite.
He was the one that was trying to put an olive branch and
yeah, but he was kind of responsible for a lot of shit, because it was what's the hip hop magazine called? There's a big awards. Oh, I forget what it's called.
Mobo.
No. And it's this big award ceremony in New York or whatever. And this was when it was all sort of kicking off, and then Snoop Dogg came on stage and sort of
load of shade.
Yeah. And it just all kicked off, and it was in New York. So the East Coast came over, Snoop Dogg gobbed off. But I think it was a case of, I didn't quite realise what was going to happen.
Sensitive bunch, aren't they?
But Death Row Records were the ones that were pivot for the West Coast scene, an absolute key to so many huge artists coming through.
Oh yeah.
But I think when Suge Knight either got locked up for life or died, it kind of fell apart.
I was going to say died, but you know what I mean.
So interestingly, it's taken over, and from what I've heard, Snoop kind of mentors loads and loads of people. So the fact he had Kendrick Lamar on stage, and I think he kind of takes that role quite seriously.
I think he's come out the other side as a thoroughly decent chap, and he's, you know, trying to do the right thing by it. He also, there was a GIF trending, as you see on Twitter as well, of him having a little smoke of a spliff before he went on stage at the Super Bowl. Yeah. He's still a legend. And there's that other one before he goes on stage, I don't know where it is, but he's about to go on stage and he shares a spliff with the police officer that's doing security at the back. And the police officer's like, go on then, it's Snoop Dogg.
I mean,
it's worth a career ender.
I might lose my job, but I've got a great kid, great story to tell the grandkids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, and the only other thing I wanted to throw in there is...
I'm just trying to find this award, and I've just found Snoop Dogg thanks himself for his new Star of Hollywood Walk of Fame award.
strong.
Well, go on, sorry.
Oh, yeah, throw in there is... I would never listen to a new Liam Gallagher single. Loved Oasis, Klaxon.
Yeah. What do you think?
Up in the day, saw Liam Gallagher at Isle of Wight last year. It was all right, but it's only when he was singing Oasis songs that's amazing.
Yeah.
But then he's released the song last week with Dave Grohl. Mm. Everything's Electric. You heard it?
No, I thought you were actually going to talk about his new single.
Ian, this is meta you.
Surely. It really is, isn't it? Yeah. This is all my great things in life coming together.
It's the first song he's done that I think is actually a good song. It comes across really well.
Really?
And it's actually worth listening to. But it's got the Grohl factor.
Dave Grohl,
so he channeled Sabotage from the Beastie Boys when he played the drum track on it.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that. And it's good.
For listeners, can I just point out that Ian picked up his phone just about to search it as Pete was talking there.
Then I realised what I had on screen was this. Honestly, this couldn't be better. It's like you were looking. Did you see that Dave Grohl and the Foos have released a film?
I did read the reviews, yeah.
They're awful, aren't they? they were not saying anything about this.
Dave Grohl could do no wrong.
No, until now. But I think he might have. General premise, I think it's Studio 666 is the name of the film.
Oh, right. No, it was on. Well, I've not got that far on the film review show, but I did notice that Dave Grohl was... I thought it was weird. Right away, his name was cropping up on the Mark Kerr.
It's almost like, you know... I think they might have just gone too far this time.
We can do no wrong.
This was a really bad idea. I think the premise of the film is that they got writer's block, which might actually be a little bit close to the truth. They got writer's block, and then the record company suggests, oh, look, you know, the corporate say you should go to this house, this like semi-haunted house, and record, and get over the writer's block. And it just turns into this, like, real spoof horror.
How could this go wrong?
Yeah. I mean, exactly. I mean, even the pitching stage, it's a classic case of, it's Dave Grohl, don't say no, just nod. He's lovely.
It will sell, don't worry. Oh. People will buy tickets. Apparently the only redeeming feature is Lionel Richie, who makes the cameo.
And that is meant to be the best bit in the film.
Yeah.
Because the whole Foo Fighters band are acting in it and stuff, and they're not actors. They're kind of retiring rock stars.
I mean, I'm sure they'd say it's tongue-in-cheek, but it looks just a little bit too serious.
Okay, I mean, realistically, if it was on at Guildford Odeon, you two would go, wouldn't you?
Probably.
I think it would push my boundaries, but I'd still say yes.
Yeah.
Could we? What about if it's on a lip hop?
It's like the new Lipwick cinema. Yeah. If it ever opens, I would. Yeah.
Get them to sponsor this then.
So lots of Dave Grohl news.
Yeah. Only other thing is, Two Princes by the Spin Doctors. What? How old is that?
30 years.
25.
32 years old.
Oh dear.
Ouch.
Oh, it's gutting, isn't it? We're old. That's the end of my news. Over to you.
The news is
we're old.
A song that came out in 1990 came out in 1990. Right. So what have I got? I've got I saw Latitude Festival headliners came out today.
Yeah.
Again, dating it.
Who you got?
Oh, fuck, I can't remember.
Lewis Capaldi and someone else.
But I was looking at the depth of the lineup and went, that looks really good. I thought I've got K Tempest, it's got, well, I used to say Foles, loads of bands all the way through. I went, oh, that does look very, very good. Unfortunately, I believe the wives might have a dibs on going.
I think there was the rest of the talk.
I was flicking through the diary trying to sort out when we could go on holiday, and I saw Latitude Festival in there without my name next to it. So
that's how I discovered it.
On the flip side, this weekend, Bez and I got a gig up in town, which doesn't finish till 2 a.m. We got Rock Mr. Scruff at the Roundhouse.
So we've got permission. We've got a hotel, rather flash hotel.
Wow. Yeah.
Travel lodge.
We have got a travel lodge.
Who finishes at 2 a.m.? Ken Dodd. Oh no, he's died, isn't he?
Yeah. Why are you going to mention Ken Dodd? What are you banging on the table?
No, it's Mr. Scruff. So he's curating a whole night up at the Roundhouse, which is one of my favourite venues.
So we'll probably stay there till about 11, do you reckon? Big stretch. 22. Mr. Scruff will be on. We're like, time for bed.
Don't waste that hotel, do you?
Well, although we are going with Chris, the music journo, and Henrik the Viking. And Henrik is known to party.
Henrik's got staying power.
Henrik's got staying power. Yeah. So that's, I'm really looking forward to that. A Friday night gig up in town at the Roundhouse with a hotel for the night.
Does life get any better?
I'm not sure it does at the moment. I'm not sure it does at the moment.
That does sound good.
Yeah.
A couple of other things. So I saw Foles announce a new album coming out as well. Ian, you've got that gig lined up.
Yeah, end of April. Have you heard any of the two singles off it?
The single's doing the rounds at the moment, isn't it?
2 a.m. is doing the rounds at the minute, and Wake Me Up was the first single off it. Very, very good. I like what I'm hearing a lot.
Well, I saw the LP being advertised by Banquet and Rough Trade. Looks lovely. Order it now. Pick up in June. So I don't know if the album's released in June, if that's just the vinyl shortage that we referenced about four episodes ago.
It has been broadcast.
In detail. In detail. So if, you know, for those that are interested in the vinyl shortage, probably should go back and find
it. Yeah, go and check it out.
You'll not find a more thorough synopsis of what happened there.
Yeah, PVC.
It's not due to PVC.
Let's not go there again.
The final thing was, and I was just going to bring it up very briefly, but Monday lunch, recording on Tuesday evening tonight, and Monday lunchtime's not the most exciting time of the week, but this hand here, I'm holding up to wave at the three gents around the table, shook the hand of an absolute rock god yesterday. We met Johnny Marr, who signed vinyl
standard
for us.
Lunchtime.
Went to work, some lunch, met Johnny Marr.
How did this happen? I saw the picture. You're wearing a suit to meet him. Did you wear the suit for work or for Johnny Marr?
Oh, especially for Johnny Marr.
Okay.
He appreciated it.
I bet he did.
That look he gave me.
Stalker.
Well, you say stalker. I linked Ian into a tag from him from one of his previous signing sessions at one of the other record shops. And there was a guy who had a full, his back.
Oh yeah, Piccadilly in Manchester.
It was Piccadilly.
His
back was covered in Smith tattoos. Full back. I mean, there was barely a space.
Wow.
But there was one right in the shoulder where Johnny Marr signed, and he went across the road and got it signed, tattooed into his shoulder.
It was a very strange.
Meter's murder.
I thought it was Queenie's Dead. Was it Meter's Murder?
He had Meter's Murder on one shoulder, didn't he?
And he was just like in a square, so like as if it were the album cover, you know, as in shrunk down.
Then he also had Morrissey
on
Marr
one side of his spot bine,
and Marr on the other. Back.
Yeah.
And reading the comments, there was just like that dedication. This, blah, blah, blah. But there was someone that said, "Alan, I'm your biggest." and that comment on the Instagram post, I think, had the most likes. But I have to say, meeting him, he was so friendly, so nice. He had everyone in the queue. He spent a good couple of minutes with asking questions and seemed like he was genuinely interested in who they were, what they were doing.
He would do anything for them. Like record a little sting for a podcast or something like that.
We didn't.
It's a sore point. It's literally the first thing you said when we came in, wasn't it?
I said it on the Instagram post as well. I think he got ignored.
he was genuinely...
Got a bit scared, to be honest.
Got a little bit starstruck.
And after your incident, what if he was to say no and then you'd hate
Johnny Marr?
We would, and we don't.
No.
So,
would you hate him if he said no? Or would you just think he's just doing his job?
I'd be very, very embarrassed.
I'm not sure if I could hate Johnny Marr at all. Is that possible? He's an utter legend. It was a real honour.
Yeah.
Do you guys know he was going to be there? It was just amazing.
Oh, no, okay. So, sorry, it was through Rough Trade Records. I thought he was doing a lunchtime gig. So, you know, I quite often go and do these gigs at Rough Trade or Banquet where you get the album... or buy the album and you get a free ticket to go and see them. So I've done loads up at Rough Trade. It's a nice Well, it's in the record shop, essentially, but it's quite a big, long, deep record shop, and probably been to 20-odd gigs there, and I told Ian about it, and I thought it was going to be a live gig plus signing.
Aye.
And it was just a signing.
Turned out to just be signing. However,
actually, you guys look like the guys that won the competition in Smash Hits.
Yes, we did.
Shake his hands. I've worn a suit. My parents told me to.
Honestly, he...
I love you.
I was starstruck, but what an absolute legend. He was so friendly, so nice.
I can imagine him being a good guy.
Can't say a bad word against the guy.
Just looking at pictures on my phone, still a little bit gooey.
Yeah.
Look at that. What an absolute legend.
He's pointing at you.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's pointing at us.
He's making eyes at security.
Yeah. He was these absolute legend.
Get rid of these.
Yeah.
Absolute.
These guys asked me to do a sting. Yeah. All right.
Found out a good fact while we were in Rough Trade. They do an essentials section. And there's like what?
Rough Trade,
like,
essentials.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. Rough Trade essentials. 40 like albums. 40 albums you should own, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a bloody great section. You know, you've got something to say about each and every single one of these albums.
You've gone and
done
that a few times.
Yeah. And on this album, on one of the albums, that I found the following: still the biggest selling title in Rough Trade shops history and still sounding fresh today. Any ideas?
This is like one of Kev's chickens.
biggest selling title in Rough Trade shops history.
And what?
And still sounding fresh today. I'll put you out of your misery. It's the XX.
Ah, really?
Yep, their debut album. Mm. Which I think is a great shout. But I wouldn't have said it.
Is it called X?
It's called XX, isn't it? Or is it X? So, I think it's X. Yeah, I think it's X. It's called the X on the front cover, isn't it?
I've got it up there, bought from Rough Trees.
Contributing to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a minimal album, that, isn't it? Very stripped back.
I like it.
Yeah, Sam, I love that.
Yeah.
Right, moving on. So it's time for Hall of Fame. So who is going to join? Amy Winehouse, Blur, Beastie Boys, Chemical Brothers, Def Leppard, Elbow, Foo Fighters, Guns N' Roses, Jimi Hendrix and Ian Brown in the Never Loved Elvis Hall of Fame.
James,
segueing nicely.
Straight in there.
Segueing in nicely. Pete, who are you going to nominate?
Ah, see what you've done there. Okay, so I am going to... I think you're going to like this one, and I think this is maybe going to make it moot point, bringing up anyone else just straight in. So we're talking about someone from Manchester. We're talking about someone who...
Ticks your box,
please. Yeah. Someone's played with, like, ridiculous amount of people, and as I was going through it, I couldn't believe the list. And played with Pretenders, Talking Heads, Pet Shop Boys, Oasis, Beck, Billie Eilish, but best known for playing guitar, but also a vocalist as well. But best known for playing guitar in a very famous band and his jangly style.
Modest Mouse.
Iconic.
We've just been talking about it. Not only though.
Is he a legend, but he inspired a legend as well, because John Squire from Stone Roses cites him as his main influence. Noel Gallagher described him as a fucking wizard.
He's a fucking wizard.
And I think I last saw him on stage, seen him a couple of times, saw him on stage with the Killers at Glastonbury, knocking out a bit of Mr. Brightside.
Yeah.
And final clue, a bit of Charmless Man. It is Johnny fucking Marr.
Yeah.
I've already had a mention, quite a lot of mention in this episode.
In
and what a guy, I mean, what an all-rounder, influence, hard work, decent fellow.
He does like to pop on stage as a guest as well, doesn't
he?
Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Marr.
Yeah. I remember.
Who have you seen him on stage with?
Camp Bestival, when we were. I think, were you there that year?
Yeah, he was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, wasn't he?
Knocked out all the hits, a bit of Smith's, some of his solo stuff, some from, was it Electronic?
And the Pet Shop Boys,
and then he popped up. So he was on second on the bill, and then headlining with James, and he came on and played a few tracks with them as well.
He's just phenomenal. He's got Electronic as one of his best.
They are.
I love that album, Electronic, listen to
the songs from that. I mean, okay, when you talk about the Smiths, he wrote some of those songs when he was 17 years old. It's incredible. Yeah. Just the... we were just saying about the hand that shook Johnny Marr's hand and stuff.
I still haven't washed it.
And I'm pretty sure that's the way that people like Noel Gallagher and John Squire look at him as well.
That's it. I think he's proved himself. It wasn't a stroke of luck. He's been absolutely devoted to it from the start. He's been at the top of his game and he's continued working and being inspirational to others and just working hard on it. So
I loved his stuff with he's good. Modest Mouse as well.
Yeah, I think. Is it Portland? There's a Portland band, isn't it? West Coast band.
Yeah. Really good. I mean, we obviously just got the LP yesterday, signed by Johnny fucking Marr.
Yeah.
Did he sign it?
I have it here.
I was close. I was close to asking.
Look at this.
Ideal for a podcast.
Ideal. Have a look. Ian. Johnny Marr. Look at this, though. Look at the colour of this vinyl.
That's beautiful. That is lovely. Beautiful colour.
Turquoise.
Where does the Johnny fucking Marr come from? Because that's on all his t-shirts and his merch. Right. And stuff.
So I said to Ian when I booked it, well, when I told him about it, I was going to book tickets for the signing. I was like, I want to get a Johnny fucking Marr t-shirt and get him to sign it. And I looked and I couldn't find an official one. I thought buying a bootleg one and getting him to sign it probably wasn't the right way to go.
Because we almost bought one at Glastonbury, didn't we, when we were there? So I saw one at Glastonbury. Where were you? You weren't there with us.
I saw a bit of it.
We were there.
Yeah. I was walking along the railway line up towards the park stage to go and see someone.
Right, okay. Because he was absolutely superb at Glastonbury. Really good. Knocked out all the hits. Ended with There Is A Light That Never Goes Out. Total legend.
It was epic. I remember seeing that t-shirt. But I struggled with it because I've never needed the toilet as badly as I needed the toilet right in the front because everyone left me and all went to the toilet and I held our space and you all got back and it took so long that the gig started and I had to watch the whole of Killers and then Johnny Marr and then the Pet Shop Boys came on. Well,
as we get older as well,
things were leaking.
I was going to say it's more of a Russian roulette as the years go by, isn't it? Yeah.
Did Johnny Marr play with the Pet Shop Boys?
No.
You can't remember, can you?
No, I think Pet Shop Boys came on after, didn't they?
Yeah. I've no idea.
I wasn't there. No, they did come on after, yeah.
Okay.
And it was epic.
But yeah, he's done his Pet Shop Boys stint with Electronic.
Mm.
Neil
Tennant. Super group.
Yeah, that's a superb album. I know we just said that. It was. Yeah. I'd almost forgotten about that one, actually. But for me, Smiths were highlight. Always will be.
I think everyone's got a highlight, and that's why.
Yeah.
Can we include it when we're. I'm just thinking about the voting going forward. Right, so it's Johnny Marr, but is it the Smiths? Because he's got the Smiths, and I just think he's piggybacking a bit there. I don't know. Hey, what do you think? Well, just maybe.
Did we have this last?
Hey, I don't know. Would you be, if you're being honest, would you say you're trying to piggyback on the Smiths?
We did Ian Marr, Ian Brown last episode.
Well, I mean, you say that.
and we have done Gorillaz and Blur.
So,
I think that's a great show.
Great show.
Yeah,
Johnny Marr.
But tell us about that sit down song. That's it, isn't it? Yeah.
Actually, yes. Ian, who have you got?
Thanks very much. It's not James. I think somebody mentioned that. But I've gone for the Return of the Space Cowboy.
Awesome.
I've gone with JK, Mr. Jamiroquai, although Jamiroquai is not just one man. This is obviously the band, but
he's proven the point with two J's, though. Very good.
He really is, isn't he? Yeah. Slamming that home. He is the only original member left of the band. They've been through something like this, about 20 of them over the years.
Just like The Fall.
It's just like that.
Which is clever because they've changed all the people over, but all the albums sound the same.
I don't think they do either. I think they evolved from.
It's like a Two Ronnie sketch, isn't it?
Emergency or Planet?
No.
It was Four Candles.
No. It was not Two Ronnies.
The one about Jamiroquai.
It was Only Fools and Horses. The Broom. Trigger's Broom.
Trigger's Broom. It's the same apart from.
Yeah. Sorry.
Emergency on Planet Earth, 1993.
Awesome album.
It's got to be one. Still got to be one of my favourite albums. Yeah. Amazing debut album.
Yeah. Very jazzy. Mind,
Too Young to Die.
Yeah.
When You're Going to Learn.
Great
tracks.
Quite out there as far as political statements and all these sort of things.
Social commentary on that.
Yeah,
album,
it was.
Which was quite different for the time, and also that sound. I remember thinking that's really, really new. I've not heard anything like that. It was acid jazz, wasn't it? Riding on that music, on that movement, but the funk,
a lot of Stevie Wonder influence, and
it was superb. Yeah. I'd certainly not heard anything like that when that album came out.
And what a voice!
That sound evolved, not with the next album, Return to Space Cowboy was the next album, but album after that, with I think it's like Virtual, songs like Virtual Insanity,
Cosmic Girl. And,
exactly. Yeah,
that was a lot more.
It's like a link between the albums, Exit Planet, Earth, Return, the Space Cowboy. He's gone and come back.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
The name of the album's Travelling Without Moving. Do you remember,
that one? Yeah, no, I do remember that. So what is that, the third album?
That's the third album, in 96, which was, I think, quite a big step up in terms of the sound and introduced a bit of disco and electronic.
I think that seemed like there was a big label behind that one suddenly, and it was all
that's
high
the
production.
One where it's on the...
Yeah. The music video.
Yeah,
which
yeah,
I'm not
yeah,
sure
yeah.
if you covered during the music video one, but that was a hell of
insanity.
That's
when I was doing some reading, that's credited. That gets a lot credit for boosting them, and especially in the States.
Mm.
And I think they won an MTV Video Award for that, and won another Video Award for that, and it took them somewhere else. But yeah, that's a superb album. And then the album after, was the album after that? It's got Canned Heat in it.
Yeah,
like used in again, Dynamite,
cracking song.
And it's on that same album, Deeper Underground, which is also used in Godzilla. Two film songs on the same album.
What's the one that used Kashmir? Oh, is that
that's also in Godzilla?
But it's not American.
It's not his Puff Daddy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, he sampled Kashmir. I think that era sort of ended a little bit with Little L, with like Funk Odyssey in 2001, and they had a bit of a quiet period, and then came back with an album called Dynamite, which has got some great songs on it. Actually, I revisited that and just had a little bit of a look down. It's got 7 Days in Sunny June, feels just like it should.
I'm sorry, I'm shaking my head.
A chance? No.
No.
Oh, there's some. There's
well,
some
how
you listen
is this?
To.
When
that is 2006, I think.
Okay.
And that is
16 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm not listening that new.
And it's done, they've done it since. But they did a good job longevity wise. I think they did a great. Last album was 2017, and he said, "I'm not going to make any more albums unless I'm inspired to do so." So perhaps it, who knows, but
done all right,
they've done all right. You know, the out band, you know, that's sort of era also spawned bands like Brand New Heavies who didn't last, and they've done extremely well to last.
Always loved a bit of Acid Jazz and Galliano and Corduroy and Mother Earth and stuff like that. But Jim Miracle, I were always kind of the headline act of those
guys,
who went on and did something completely different and away from the jazz roots, more in the funk and disco stuff, and had a hell of a voice on him. The band were awesome, and could manipulate their image, as it were, to being the music videos and the clothes and the hats and everything else that went with it, and the fast cars and the tabloid journalism.
They defined an era, didn't they?
Yeah,
really did.
And their place in it. Yeah.
I mean, every single student disco or post-student disco that we went to in the late 90s, early noughties, would have had 3 or 4 Jamiroquai tracks on. Great show.
Yeah, I think also, and the sales back it. So third.
Oh, he's global, wasn't
third it? Third biggest selling act, and this is in the UK, right? So third biggest selling act of the 90s.
Really?
Who wants to have a stab at number 1 and 2?
Oasis and Spice Girls.
All right, we could just end it there. Yes, it is, Kev.
All right, okay.
I shall.
That say something.
The Spice Girls really sell that many albums. They only did
one album.
They did 2 albums, didn't they? And there's a third one, but that was years later, wasn't it?
So I think so.
Off 2 albums.
They were actually above Oasis.
That is unbelievable.
Wait a minute, they were riding away at Spice Girls, weren't we?
Yeah, that's a lot of albums, isn't it?
It is a lot of albums. There's a lot of women.
A lot of girls, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're a reform. Oh, I'm not talking about Spice Girls. Reform of the Queen's Jubilee, apparently.
Oh, is that right?
It's great. Jerry going to be there?
I'll be there. They'll all be there. Maybe. I don't know.
Jumeirah, quite a good show. Anyway. Loved his fast cars.
Yes, yes, he did.
Lamborghinis.
Properly into his supercars and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember being at a Prince's Trust gig. So my wife used to work for the Prince's Trust, and in a very lowly position there, but we managed to get tickets for something called Fashion Rocks. This was probably going back 15 years ago at the Albert Hall. And the idea was you'd have some live bands playing, like really good people. Like you had
Beyonce played, and Robbie Williams, and Jamiroquai, and whoever else. I mean, there were so many. Bjork. And then there would be fashion models going around the outside whilst they were doing it. And Jamiroquai was playing. And somehow we got the cheapest tickets that were available. And I think they cost us £10 each for star free. And we were right up in the gods at the very, very top, almost behind the stage, looking back towards the crowd. It would have been good anyway, but about half an hour before the gig started, the ushers came up because two people come up to us and said, we've got the same tickets. And we're like, well no, these are our seats. And the usher was like, oh, you've got an X next to yours, which means your staff, so unfortunately you're going to have to move. Like, oh, fuck's sake. So we got moved and moved and moved and went down lower and lower and lower until they found two seats for us in a box. So Lorna and I had a box, and it was amazing. But the whole point of the story was, we were in the bar afterwards, or between the first half and the second half, and Lorna always had a massive crush on JK from Jamiroquai, and we were stood next to him. We were in the champagne bar, and at the time, both earning fuck all money, and all we could afford was kind of the smallest white wine that you could possibly find, and she was stood next to JK, who was just like, oh, what do you think of my hair? Is it all right? I'm not quite sure. I think I look like a twat, and all this kind of thing. And Lorna was just like, oh, I feel really disappointed. That was it. Yeah. the point was, he was a prima donna,
yeah.
Who I think it was well publicised that he had other issues going on.
Mm. Yeah.
But take all the tabloid shit away.
Yeah, battered with that, didn't he?
The music was phenomenal.
He's been scrappy as well, wasn't he?
There was tabloid fights.
Yeah, yeah. Supercars fights and going over to Denise Van Outen
and stuff. Listen to the songs and you go, fucking hell, there's a good 10, 15, 20 songs there that you could put a hat. Hang your hat on.
Nice with big horns with it. Yeah.
Great shout. Good shout.
Anyone care to try and outdo that?
Yeah.
Kev?
Yeah. I'm going to go for it.
I don't think Bez has got anything to say, but
no, I'm not sure he has.
I actually haven't.
I'm just going to say one word.
So, I mean, realistically, we were chatting about this and who we were going to nominate. And there was, you three have gone for three of my favourite artists anyway, so there was another couple I could have thrown into the ring, and this is one that came up, Jeff Buckley, who, when I first heard of him, I think it was a mixtape a girlfriend gave to me when I was at uni, and I thought it was a bit wishy-washy and a bit wet and too emotional and all these kind of things, and it's something that's really, really grown in me over the years. He is the antithesis of a one album wonder, mainly because he died. after making one album, but he was almost
the epitome,
that was what I was looking for. He was a kind of reluctant rock star, not someone that really wanted to go and do it, so he grew up in a scene in New York in the early 90s, playing at local cafes and bars, and mainly doing cover songs. On his one album, he's got Hallelujah on there by Leonard Cohen. He's got Lilac Wine by Nina Simone, I want to say.
You need to look it up, hold tight.
So on an album of 12, 13 songs, two are covers. But actually, his version of Hallelujah was voted in the top 500 songs by Rolling Stone of all time. His actual cover, he didn't write it, but they still think it's one of the greatest songs of all time. And the album itself doesn't really have any weak songs on there. Over the years, I've grown to love it. It's one of those ones that I can have on repeat, and I'd probably win it in my top 20 albums of all time. Rolling Stone said it was in their top 500 of all time. Bob Dylan called him one of the greatest songwriters of the decade. Bowie said it was one of the top 10 albums that he'd take on a desert island. Robert Plant called him the album of the decade. It is phenomenal. Such a good album from start to finish. His recording career ran from 94 when he recorded his first single to 1997 when he died. The album came out in 94, and 95 I saw him at Glastonbury for about 10-15 minutes because I've been seeing Evan Dando beforehand, or supposedly seeing Evan Dando beforehand, but he didn't show up. And then 96 he took a step back from the limelight because he wasn't enjoying it. He didn't like the whole touring, the whole music scene, and went back on a what he called a phantom solo tour, using aliases to play around cafes around the northeast of America. The aliases he used included Crackrobats, Possessed by Elves, and a few others.
Possessed by Elves. Let me do them for Pete.
But he enjoyed that whole just playing in front of an intimate little crowd rather than being a rock god or anything like that. And the album itself didn't sell particularly well when it first came out. Died in May 1997, 3 years after his first album came out. Just went for a swim with one of his friends in a river tributary off the Mississippi, and a tugboat went past and was awake. He was wearing quite a lot of clothes while swimming in the river and didn't surface. And that was it.
No,
all done.
I didn't know that.
One album, phenomenal album at that. Jeff Buckley.
Knew he drowned, didn't know the circumstances. It's really sad.
One thing I didn't mention, he was a son of Tim Buckley, you know, very well renowned folk rock singer from the late 60s, early 70s.
He wasn't very nice, though, was he, Tim Buckley?
Jeff Buckley didn't know him. He was actually brought up by a stepfather and mother in California, who he was always known by his stepfather's surname, and he was known as Scott. And
there was an interview where the interviewer calls him Tim.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then he's not very... he kind of retreats.
Yeah, I mean... He was one of those things. It was... he never wanted to play on the name, but then he used his dad's name on it, and played a concert in the early 90s as a tribute to his dad and all that kind of thing. So, taking all that away, one album, beautiful from start to finish, heart-rendering, soulful, amazing guitar, great voice, some great songwriting, some great covers, Jeff Buckley.
We have some stiff competition this week. Are we ready to vote?
there's nothing of real value at this point, is there?
16 albums.
So we've gone from 16. One album.
Sit down, shut up, Biz.
Well, 16 albums, that's not even including the greatest hits one.
I've got that one as well.
Yeah. One Man Clapping, the live one. And then you say Sit Down mockingly, I noticed earlier. And you... Which is fine, because obviously that they became sort of, it became a millstone, I would say, perhaps around the band's neck. We're talking about James, ladies and gentlemen, around their neck for a while. But actually, when it came out, you know, that like it was like a zeitgeist or whatever, the Manchester scene,
classic.
That song, like, you know, just absolutely, you know, nailed it.
Couldn't
at the
get
time.
Enough of it. Couldn't get enough of that song, could you?
Admittedly, it probably overplayed, but that's not the band's fault, and that says something about the band, doesn't it?
So, but they'd had a few albums before that as well.
Yeah, that was on the third album.
Yeah.
So that was on Goldmother. They had...
Actually, it wasn't originally.
No, it wasn't. It was added, you're right. Yeah. I've got the version without Sit Down on it. But when I first...
But it has got to Come Home with it.
It has got to Come Home with it.
Which I think is a superior song anyway.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I would agree with that.
Good man, yeah.
And I can remember when I was at school. I bought Goldmother, but I bought the Goldmother on tape and it had Sit Down on it, the version I bought.
Yeah,
and I was like there, it was in Blackpool, I was on a holiday in Blackpool. And I had Goldmother in one hand, and I had Automatic for the People on the other hand. And I was like, which do I buy? And I bought a Goldmother, and it was a bit of a sliding doors moment. Could have been a... But, you know, you're pulling a face there.
No, I'm pulling a face because I'm thinking... Also, like,
no, it wasn't Automatic for the People. It was out of time. It was out of time.
There we go.
That was
almost embarrassing.
That was what the pulling in the face was.
No, it was out of time. It was out of time, R.E.M. It was R.E.M.
Yes. How far apart were those two albums? Was it 1 year or 2 years?
Two years, I think.
Out of time.
93 and 91.
Yeah, Out of Time and Automatic and The
Okay, oh, yeah, yes, but it was Goldmother and, yeah, yeah, so they were both 91, I would say. But,
okay.
Yeah,
it was when Sit Down was out. Right. That was a sliding door moment.
Credibility rescued.
Yeah, right, just saved there, just saved there.
Oh, could have been so awkward.
And I can remember getting the version which doesn't have Sit Down. I stumbled across it at a record fair. I was like, what is this? It hasn't got, and it's got two different songs on it. It had Hang on it and another different song. What was the other different song? Anyway, doesn't matter. Right, then the first two albums are a bit folky.
Stutter,
Strip Mine.
Yeah,
yeah, but there's good songs on them. Good songs on him. But then after Goldmother, they hit it like a.
Is he going to do all 17?
No, because I only go up to about.
go up to about seven.
I go up to about eight. Yeah, yeah.
They did more after.
But
that.
But actually, though, right, saying that, like with bands, you know, you get bands and it's like, right, oh, I love them two albums. They're great, but and then you dip off or whatever, and then you might have come back in later on. You know. I was buying those albums again and again and again, and there's hits and there's songs.
Every song
they
in the album.
Just smash it.
Yeah.
They are great.
You said you saw them.
I'm joking. They're a great band.
But
I don't think we ever got bored of Sit Down or Getting Away With It All and all the classics. I think they got bored of them because they got bored of Sit Down.
Because they've got 17 albums.
I'm sure
we talked about this in a previous episode. Yeah. We were saying relevant bands who are still releasing decent stuff who don't want to play just the hits.
Yeah.
And James would fall into that camp. They're still releasing albums that a lot of people still want to hear, and they're quite happy to play stuff just from 2015 onwards.
Yeah. I think where they maybe have got it wrong, I wouldn't say they've got it wrong, who am I to say, but I've seen them at festivals where they've tried to play those songs.
Exactly,
and when you're at a festival,
you
really got to belt out your hits. Mm. And when they were playing at Isle of Wight, they did play a bunch of songs that no one knew, and they were losing the crowd, but then they did play all the classics. And I'd read some interviews saying they didn't want to do that anymore from a few years ago. Mm. But I think they have realised now. You're playing a festival crowd, you're getting paid to, you know, play for nostalgia and all the rest of it. And they did. They bailed out all the hits, and it was a brilliant ending to it. So, they proved their point, and they played the classics.
And there are loads of hits.
But I bet they've got loyal fans that, are following all the way through and want to hear the new albums, haven't they?
And then the Seven is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, again, from start to finish, you got Born of Frustration, you got Sound, you got...
Seven.
Yeah. And then you got Laid, which is in my top 10 albums of all time.
Yeah. Whiplash. Tomorrow.
I'd say Whiplash would kind of, take
so away. Then there was, I forgot what it's called now. It's got Millionaires on it.
The Pig.
Yeah.
The Pig on the front.
What's that one?
I can't remember.
Blue album. What's it called that? Anyway.
The blue one with the pig on the front.
Blue one with the pig on, it's got Millionaires on it.
Yeah.
That's got some great songs on it.
It has, yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic Live. I would say, like, in my top 5 gigs ever.
Really?
Whereabouts was the gig?
Manchester, their last ever gig in Manchester, before they reformed, obviously. The last ever one. Yeah. The MEN Arena, and it was, I'm not an arena gig person, but you're there in the crowd, then all of a sudden this brass band start playing at the back of the crowd, a brass band.
Born of Frustration or something
through the crowd. No, I don't even think it was starting a song. It was just the band coming in with a brass band following a brass band through the crowd up onto the stage, and then it was just hit after hit after hit. It wasn't let's just play some of the sort of unusual stuff. It was just like, oh my god, everyone going mental. Brilliant. And then in fact we're like there going, oh mate, they've not played Sometimes yet, they've not played Tomorrow yet, they've still got a lease to come. Yeah, it was an amazing gig.
Yeah, I mean,
sounds good. Solid.
I'm a bit like when we've seen The Cure in the past, Pete, in where you go, they've played 20 songs that I've sung every single word to, and they've still got another 15 that they could do.
They're
off their ilk that they've got so many good songs that you could do. Very good, very good shout. Yeah. I think it's been a really tough one this week.
Yeah,
but we are pretty pushed for time.
Yeah.
Let's start with me. So let's start with Jeff Buckley, because I can't vote for that, and it gives me another 15-20 seconds to try and figure out who I'm going to vote for. But votes for Jeff Buckley.
Hats off to him, but no.
Agree. Classic album.
Votes for Johnny Marr.
I will vote for Johnny Marr.
I'm really torn here because I don't know whether
I'm really torn.
I mean, you've both got side topics.
I touched his hand yesterday.
I'm going to have to go for the other stuff he's done as well. Electronic, as I said, I think it's a fantastic album. Yes, Johnny Marr gets my vote.
So two Johnny Marrs. Votes for Jamiroquai then. No. And votes for James. Yes.
One for you. Yeah,
one for me. So,
who did you vote for?
Can I vote for myself? I've forgotten the rules.
No, I can't.
Okay.
Jamiroquai or James, then you've got.
You rushed in there, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
Pete's tactical, so he's going to vote for.
Yeah, so well done,
I'm going to prove I can learn developers. I said all his albums sound the same. I listened to you and I realised they don't sound the same. I was being unfair. I was just jumping. 100% Jamiroquai for me. I'm tactical about that. I've grown as a person during the last 20 minutes.
I'd love to think I could convince you, however, I think.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Tactical Pete's.
Who's won? What have we got there?
Johnny Marr.
That is the right thing to have happened, isn't it? That is the right thing to have happened. Good.
All right, it's time for that lyric game. It's what Bez was been looking forward to all night. From his comment earlier, it was like, oh shit, it's not like that game, is it?
That was last week. Yeah.
So
you've got some pages to shuffle as well.
Yeah.
While you do it.
No, this is my... I had a new game, actually.
You did?
Yeah. Go on, anyway. Go on, you do your game.
I'll do my game.
Can we do Bez's next time?
No.
This is a democracy.
So, all right, Putin, carry on.
So very, very simply, I feel like I have to give the rules again, not just for the listeners, but mainly for you three around the table here.
It's fair.
I am going to give some lyrics out. I want the next lyrics.
So it's name the band.
not say
repeat
my name.
The same lyric that he's just
do it over and over again. Is everyone clear?
Reasonably. But when the panic sets in, it's very hard to remember that rule.
That's going to happen.
All right. Yeah. So let's get going. We're pushed for time here. So. I'm going to start with... you're ready?
Do with my paper.
I'm taking your paper. I'm using it to score. You do nothing but socialise and become a menace. Put on your Reeboks, man.
And go and play fucking tennis.
Yeah, one for Bez. Look at that, Bez. You can do it. You can do it.
Well done. What was that?
That was Black Grape.
Reverend Black Grape.
No change, I can change, I can change, I can change. But I'm here in my mould, here in my mould.
What are we saying?
I'm a million different people from one day to the next.
That's it, Bez, Ian.
Many people.
Ian, well done.
You didn't say your name.
You didn't say it before.
Yeah, but he didn't say his name at all.
Yeah, but you didn't say it for the one that you got. One each.
I was just following you.
That was third. Can I say Lucky Bez? Man?
No.
Bittersweet
Symphony. Mm-hmm. Yes. Don't believe in love. Oh, fuck. I can't remember. Can I read my writing? Don't believe in love. Don't believe in hate. Don't believe in anything you can't waste.
Pearl Jam.
It's not Pearl Jam. It's off that era. Female singer.
Oh, I do know it, but
no. Stupid Girl. Stupid Girl.
Oh. Oh,
Stupid Girl by Garbage. And I said, let's all meet up in the year 2000. Won't it be strange when we're all fully grown?
Bez, we'll be there at 2 o'clock by the fountain down the road.
That'll do very nicely. Oh,
yeah.
Be there by the 2 o'clock by the fountain down the road.
Yeah, very good.
My therapist said not to see you no more. You're like a disease without any cure.
Bez.
My therapist said...
She said, you're so obsessed, you're becoming a bore.
I'm becoming a bore. That would do very nicely. Oh. James Late. Love, I adore you, always looking for you, and I'll be there wherever you need me.
Bez.
Blank. Blank looks all around the table.
Ian, love to meet you.
Right song, wrong lyrics.
What's it again? Read it again.
Hope I never see
love, I adore you, always looking for you. You. Wrong. And I'll be there wherever you need me.
Oh, yeah. That's not good enough, really, is it?
Be my Spider Woman, I'll be your Spider-Man. Okay. Every time, just like the last, on a ship tied to the mast, two distant lands, take both my hands.
Pete.
Never a frown with golden brow. While pamper life's complexities with a leather runs smooth in the passenger seat.
Oh my god!
The strain looks around here.
This is your mate.
Yeah, yeah.
and Pete's recommendation.
Pete's recommendation. You've got his autograph. Well, not his autograph, but...
Oh, that's disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I would go out tonight, but I haven't got a stitch to wear.
Oh. I would go out tonight, but I haven't got a stitch to wear.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bit, isn't it?
Can we get sued for
Sorry.
That?
Sorry.
Trust, I seek...
No, no. I mean, like this.
For a couple of different reasons, but not for... any likeness to the song, no. Trust, I seek, and I find you. Every day for us, something new. Open mind for a different view.
It's the way he reads it, isn't it? It just doesn't...
Ian, and nothing else matters?
It was, oh, yeah. Nothing else matters. Yeah. I mean, that was in
people. Can we have a rundown on the scores there, Kev?
I'm listening. I'm there. I'm panicking. I can't do
it.
Yeah.
It's 3-2 to Ian.
And what about Pete? You seem to have missed Pete off
there. He seems to miss himself off.
I can't shine every week, can I? You know? You needed your moment.
Carry on. carry on cutting the finest cuts of chicken from the big spinning stick. Then over flies a chip, flips, and hits you on the back. You spin round on the attack.
You're right, mate.
Do we know that one?
You're fit.
I mean, right artist, right album. Right artist. It was the streets. Fuck you playing that. He looks down like a Cheshire Cat. No.
What song is it?
Do you get a half point for being like vaguely recognising it?
No.
Thank you very much.
Chicken, chips.
I must have died and gone to heaven because it was 11:15.
Does that sound familiar?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, mainly because he was one of the nominees for the Hall of Fame tonight.
On Saturday in 1999.
That's it. Oh, I needed that nudge, I'm going to be honest.
I think I'm in love, probably tune, just hungry. Think I'm your friend.
Probably just lonely.
Perfect, Bez.
What's that? Probably just lonely. You didn't say Bez at the start, Bez.
Spiritualized, think I'm in love. Always had a roof above me, always paid me my rent, but I never set foot inside a tent. Couldn't build a fire to save my life.
But he's no Cub Scout, that's for certain.
Lied about being the outdoor type. Lemonheads, no. For each a road, for every man a religion, for everybody and rule. Find everybody and rule. For everyone and rumble.
Fear.
Why don't you win a medal? Even Tarquin has a medal. Mary Berry's got a medal, so why don't you have a medal?
Well done.
Yep, done. Bez, 5. Okay. Put some in here for you, Pete. Well done by Idols.
Yeah, we need to say it.
Yes, we do. Okay.
Yeah, well, you do.
Okay. Here comes old Flat Top. He comes on grooving up slowly. He got Juju Eyeball.
He got Holy Moly.
He won Hungry Roller.
Oh, Pete won!
Holy.
I got like
Pete, well done.
Memories, one holy of, my, memories of my German GCSE exam there, where the teacher was like mouthing right, words. I knew I just couldn't do it.
I want and she's you like to willing me on.
I want to know whether you want to accept that point.
No, because I don't think you should. I don't cross it out. Point. I don't.
It is like it's like my French oral exam. The teacher was like mouthing.
I felt guilty for I felt guilty for 20 years about having that German GCSE. I don't want that point as well.
We only say goodbye with words. I died 100 times. You go back to her.
And I go back to black.
That'll do. Yes. Yeah, I'll go back. I'll go back to black. Well, fancy seeing you in here. You're all tarted up. You don't look the same. Well, I haven't seen you since last year.
I've no idea.
No, blank looks all around. Yeah, well, surprisingly, you forgot my name. Arctic Monkeys. Well, all right, we're jamming. I want to jam it with you. We're jamming.
I hope we're going to jam in too, Bez.
Yeah. Bez, killing this tonight. I mean...
Yeah. That was a Pete one. I'm worried about time here, Kev. We seem to be time seems to be clocking on.
Two hours.
I don't want to end the game.
I mean, I think this is the extended humiliate Pete version. So it's worth the extra minutes.
Yeah, I guess he's not got anything. Keep going. Yeah.
We've got three more. He can't win.
I don't want to win. I just want to, like,
Salvage.
If you're a rock star, porn star, superstar, doesn't matter what you are.
Get yourself a good car and get off here.
Yeah, okay.
Look at this.
Spontaneously.
Not that one. Yeah, there we are.
Here we go. Husband don't know what he's done. Kids don't know what's wrong with mum. She can't say, they can't see.
Bears putting it down to another bad day. Pop that on there.
Stop there, Kevin.
All right, okay. I was drinking in my nightclub. It felt good to be back when Hepburn said, I love you.
Pete. Ian. I said, make mine a double, Jack.
Yeah. And Flynn said, make mine a double, Jack.
Pete, I gave you enough time.
It's the level of
this. Game over. There's a clear winner this week.
This is not a beautiful day. didn't even tell you the bounds of the end, but it is not a beautiful day, which is a nice ending to that. So it's good.
Eight for Bears.
Eight.
5 foot, Ian.
That's probably a record, isn't it? Eight.
I think it might be.
And
I think it might be.
None is probably a record, also.
He got a half.
I don't want to talk
about
it. I didn't even get a half.
You didn't get a half. I mean, let's give him it, but you didn't.
I always put in a few for each of you, and he didn't get the Metallica one or the Levelers one, so.
Yeah.
I could have got some. I just need more time. I'm just feeling like quite chill and relaxed tonight.
You're all right.
I think you've been a bit aggressive towards me. I found that difficult, Bez. Yeah.
So before the next episode, you two got to make up.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Ready for the next episode. All right, I've really pushed for time this week. I think we've still got... I know, it's fine. We've got February's data allowance out of the way. We're back in March, which resets. It's fine. We can do an hour of five. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
People listen to that.
Okay, so thank you very much for listening. If you would like to get in contact with us, you can contact us on email at neverlovedelvispod@gmail.com.
You could maybe even visit us on Instagram at neverlovedelvis.
Or Twitter at neverlovedelvi2.
Or on Spotify, we have a playlist.
We do have a playlist. Where all the songs that you mentioned
they're updated religiously
updated.
And fastidiously added.
Yeah,
with no exception.
Like a fine tooth comb. We go through these.
Nothing missed.
And that's Never Loved Elvis. What is it?
Podcast playlist.
Yeah.
But it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here. I'm really looking forward to Mrs. Craft this weekend. We will update you next week.
Look forward to that.
My name's Enjoy. Kevin.
My name's Bez.
My name's Ian.
I'm Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Beat left.
And this has been Never Loved Elvis. Thank you.